Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. The Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what's unlawful to do on the Sabbath." Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests could lawfully eat. Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, as we celebrate this votive Mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, it's important for us to delve even more deeply into Jesus' words here, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." They're not the first time Jesus quotes the prophet Hosea. We know that when he called Matthew from his customs post to be his disciple and an apostle, and Matthew convened that feast of all the other sinners whom he wanted to introduce to the divine physician, the scribes and the Pharisees were outside complaining that Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus, knowing what was in their heart, blurted out, "It's not the healthy who need a physician, the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice.'" This was something Jesus stressed. He said it then, he says it here, because one of the chief maladies he was facing among the religious at his time were that they were placing lots of things above mercy. They were placing the ritual sacrifices. They were placing the scribal fences that were drawn around the actual commandments so that nobody would even come close to violating the commandments. They were straining out gnats and swallowing camels. And Jesus needed to get them back, not just to the weightier things of the law, but to the most weighty thing of all, that Jesus, the incarnation of the Father's mercy, was coming to transform us by that gift so that we would be able to become as merciful as the Father is merciful. That's God's vocation to us. And every vocation within the Church, the baptismal vocation of holiness, the priestly vocation, vocation to religious life in general, or the Sisters of Life in particular, is all about becoming godlike in mercy. We were not called to any other vocation than this. And this is God's ardent desire that he repeats over and again. The immediate dispute here was the context of the Sabbath. Throughout this entire 12th chapter of St. Matthew, we're going to see Jesus' teachings and his actions on the Sabbath, and how that led, ultimately, the scribes and the Pharisees, out of so-called concern for the third commandment, to begin to intend to violate the fifth and kill Jesus because of his particular relationship to the Sabbath. God had told us at the beginning, in the Decalogue, "Keep holy the Lord's day, for you were once slaves in Egypt." This was an incredible gift, so that we might be free. what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing was they were enslaving people on the Sabbath. Just a little bit of history. After the exile in Babylon, there, while they were weeping by the rivers of Babylon, they recognized that the reason for the exile was because they were unfaithful to God. Truthfully, that was the reason. And God was medicinally punishing them. And they resolved when they came back that that would never recur. So when they eventually found the scrolls of the law, a new class of people, the lawyers, those who knew the Mosaic Law, the scribes, came on up to study literally every single little detail of this law. They wanted to know it perfectly so that they wouldn't inadvertently violate it. And then the Pharisees sprung up to live by what the scribes taught. With regard to the third commandment, it said, keep holy the Lord's day and don't be slaved like you were in Egypt. They interpreted slavery in Egypt was doing work and therefore couldn't do work on the Sabbath. And therefore, what would work be? And work would be lifting anything that weighed more than 2 dried figs. So you couldn't lift anything. No. Where's that in what God said at the top of Mount Sinai? Likewise, you couldn't walk more than these amount of paces on the Sabbath, because if you were, you were violating God's law. Here, the Pharisees were not complaining that Jesus' disciples were stealing heads of grain, because the Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy 23:26, said that when you're walking through somebody else's field, you do have the ability to take as much food as you need. What they were complaining about was, even though you could pick the heads of grain, that wasn't in violation. If you threshed and winnowed the grain in your hand, that was in violation. And so therefore, they were pretending as if God wanted his sons and daughters to starve on the Lord's day rather than to just do the minimal amount of work to be able to get bare grain into their mouths. And so Jesus tried to help them in a rabbinical way to understand just how foolish that is by their own categories. Did he not read that when David and his troops were hungry, they went in and they ate the showbread, the bread of presentation, which only the priests could eat? This was the bread that rested there for a week, and then it was replaced every week, and the bread that was replaced could be consumed by the priest. It was one of the things that belonged to the priest. But David was fighting for the Lord, and his troops were with him doing the Lord's work. And so it wasn't a violation, as the scribes would themselves recognize. It was a consequence of what they were doing. And then Jesus mentions the temple. And on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple still do their jobs. It's not a violation of the Sabbath, even though that incenser weighs way more than 2 figs. And even though the animals that they're sacrificing weigh far more. Nobody thought in those directions. But they lost it because they were looking at these little details. And so Jesus had come to try to free them. But the main reason why they were mistaken is because they didn't recognize what Jesus himself would say in Matthew 19, that all the law and the prophets, all 613 commandments in the Old Covenant, but especially the 10 in the Decalogue, were about loving God and loving neighbor. And that love is hesed, and hesed is always merciful. They missed the biggest thing of all. So we'll see how that plays out this week. But Jesus doesn't want us to miss it. The first reading, we see that moving scene with Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the few sons of David that for the most part were faithful. He had done a lot, but toward the end, he, out of fear of the Assyrians, made an agreement with the Assyrians that displeased God, won a against what God had told Hezekiah to do to his prophets. And so there was going to be the consequence. But Hezekiah, just like David, repented of his sins. And we see what God's mercy does when we're not stubbornly holding on to our sins. God himself showed his mercy. He, from our own anthropological point of view, repented even though he's eternal. And this was all part of his plan from the beginning. So he extends Hezekiah's life by 15 years, which was an external physical sign of the mercy he was given to his soul. God wants to do far more than extend our life 15 years. He wants to give us eternal life. And in order for us to receive that gift, we have to recognize that mercy is the essence of God's communication to the human race. So, let's get practical. In seminary and novitiate, we're trained in many things. But if we don't get that all of them are supposed to lead to and flow from a mercy reflective of God's, we'd miss the whole point. And we constantly need to examine, as we grow in our vocations, within our vocations, whether we're becoming more godlike in mercy, or whether we're becoming more hardened, whether we're becoming more worldly, whether we're holding on to grudges, whether we're refusing to forgive 70 times, 7 times, whether when someone comes who's just number 9,418 of the same frustrating pattern we've had to deal with before, whether we respond to that person with compassion or with frustration. More than any other thing in our life, God wants us to be merciful. And the way he helps us each day is by bringing us here. He's not going to have us pick heads of grain, heads of wheat, and get the grain. He's going to give us himself. He's going to enter with us into the temple and give us not showbread, but the bread of life, such that we will in turn be able to become the tabernacle of the eternal God. He's going to give us his body and blood, given for the remission of sins, and then the command, do this in memory of me. So that we, coming here, might combine our sacrifices to his in one great offering of mercy to the Father. The Lord has saved our life. We shall not die. And through his mercy, we will experience life to the full. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.